Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. How are you doing today? This is Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad that you tuned in today to the Thursday night Bible study. And I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. Why encourage you? Well, because today people don't open up their Bibles anymore. They just sit there in church and they just look into space and they listen to the preacher, but they're not really looking at their Bibles. And you know you have to look at your Bible. You know you are commanded. You are commanded to study the scriptures, to search the scriptures daily. That's what you're commanded to do, to search the scriptures daily. And we've been talking about the primitive church. This is part five, and this is an easygoing Bible study. And let's begin by reading Genesis chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Let's pray. Let's read and then let's pray. It says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which have opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Let's pray. Dear Lord and God, we come to you once again in anticipation of what you're going to teach us today, Lord. Thank you for scriptures. Thank you for the book of Genesis. Thank you, Lord, for having the account of Genesis, Holy Ghost inspired. We thank you, Lord, for how you left it behind that it might provide us instruction in righteousness. Bless us, Lord. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters who have tuned in today. I pray for them, Lord. If they're sick, I pray that you heal their body. Lord, if they're going through marital issues, I pray that you would touch them, Lord. Lord God, I pray that if my brothers and sisters are struggling financially, I pray that you would meet their needs. Lord, whatever it is that they're going through, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, that you would come to their rescue. For they have no one else who can come to save them but you, Lord. You are our salvation. You are our hope in the earth. Thus, we always turn to you, Lord. For there is no one else who loves us and who would save us to the uttermost. Bless this study, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen, Lord, and amen. Well, we've been talking about the primitive church, and in particular, we've been dealing a great deal with Cain and Abel. And last week, last Thursday, we saw how Cain worshiped the Lord, but his worship wasn't from the heart. His worship did not please God. His worship was scrutinized by the Lord, and the Lord says, I reject your worship. Why reject Cain's worship? Because worship is a heart matter. And God knows if we're coming to him with the right motives, with the right intent, with the right attitude. God knows all of this. And Cain, the Bible tells us, was found wanting. It was God and not Adam who rejected Cain. It was God and not Eve who rejected Cain. It was God and not Abel who rejected Cain. Yet Cain took it out on his brother Abel. His brother Abel was worshiping simultaneously while Cain was worshiping. One had one altar, the other had his own altar. The Bible says that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, and that Abel brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And some people have made a distinction. Well, you know, God accepted Abel because Abel brought a blood sacrifice, and God rejected Cain because Cain brought a fruit sacrifice or a plant sacrifice that carries no blood. And I can see both sides of the argument, but the reality is that it was a heart matter. The bottom line was, if Abel brought the right offering and Cain brought the wrong offering, it was all because of what? The heart. It always goes back to what? The heart. It's a heart matter. So now Cain rises up against his brother. He kills him. He kills Abel the same way you would slaughter a lamb for sacrifice. You cut the jugular. And so now, that's what we left it off. We left it off where we discovered, according to Scripture, Cain was of the wicked one, Satan, and Abel belonged to God. And Cain was simply masquerading as a true worshiper. And we concluded last week with understanding that you have true and false worshipers in God's church. You have both the able kind of worshipers, those that worship God in spirit and in truth, and then you have the Cain worshipers who worship God according to their own ideas and who worship God according to their own liking. And they want God to accept them, but God doesn't, because you cannot worship God based on your own ideas. He has revealed in his word how we're to worship him. And again, all throughout the Bible, God keeps pointing back to the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. And so you will always have these two kinds of worshipers in every church. You will have those who truly worship God, and then you have those who they don't worship God truly. Wheat and tare. And the Lord said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. And so now today we're going to pick it up at verse 9. And the Lord now inquires of Cain. Now God actually knew what Cain did. The Lord knew exactly what Cain had done. But it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, posed the question, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. I know not. Now notice. Why do we know that Cain belongs to the devil? Why do we know that Cain? Well, one, because he slew his brother. Write that down. He slew his brother. He killed him. And if God did require Cain to bring a blood sacrifice, then Cain was supposed to do to a lamb what he did to his brother. But in anger towards his brother, because his brother had been accepted, in jealousy of his brother, he went and he cut his brother's jugular. And that just speaks of outright rebellion. So the bottom line is that Cain was a murderer. The first thing we know is that he's a murderer. After we discover that he is not a true worshiper. So he's not a true worshiper. Then he's a murderer. And then the third thing that we find out about Cain is that he is a liar. The Lord says, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Now, he knew exactly where his brother was. He killed him. And once you kill something, it doesn't get up and walk away. It's dead. It's lifeless. So notice, three things about Cain. One, a false worshiper. Two, a murderer. Three, what? What was he, number three? Number three is he was a liar. A liar. So now, turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Verse number 44. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. Now, look what Jesus says. Look what Jesus says to these Pharisees, who pretty much are Cain's in Jesus' day. If you fast forward history, you will find that the Pharisees were playing the same role that Cain did when Jesus lived. How can I say that? Well, the Pharisees thought that they were worshiping God, but they were false worshipers. That's one. Number two, the Pharisees, if they could have, they would have killed Jesus. And we saw that Cain killed Abel. And then we see that, like Satan, the Pharisees are into speaking lies. So let's read John 8:44. Look what the Bible says. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father, the devil. See, you are of your father, the devil. Now, Cain was of the devil. And we're going to see that after we read this scripture. We read that scripture last week. But notice that the Pharisees have as a spiritual father the devil. And then Jesus says, and the lust of your father ye will do. See, Satan operates on what? Lust, not love. Always Satan operates on lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, so the lust of your father you will do. Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, who did Satan kill? Well, he killed those angels. What angels are you talking about, Radio Shepherd? Well, the angels that followed Satan. There was a third of the angels that follow Satan. Aren't those angels doomed to suffer the second death? Yes, they are. That's Matthew 25:41. Those angels that Satan tricked and deceived and followed him, those angels are doomed to eternal death. That's Matthew 25. So who killed them? Satan did. By what? By hoodwinking and deceiving them. But who else did Satan kill? Well, didn't he kill Adam and Eve? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Didn't God say, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die? And who tricked them into eating of the tree? The serpent did. And who was in control of the serpent? The devil was. So, you see, Jesus says, he was a murderer from the beginning. And he did not abide in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now, what did Cain do? Didn't Cain lie? Of course he lied. When he speaketh, speaking of Satan, he speaketh a lie. And he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, Jesus says, I tell you, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me what? You believe me not. Okay, so here is Jesus, and he's speaking to these Pharisees, and these Pharisees think that they're serving God. But here is Jesus, and he opens their eyes, and he says, no, you don't worship God because, one, you have a spiritual father, and that spiritual father is Satan. And I know he's your spiritual father because if you could, you would kill me. And I know he's your spiritual father because you are believing and following a lie. And Satan speaks lies, and Satan kills. And so this is how we know that people who really think they're in the church and they're following God, but they kill their brothers or attack them. You know, I've been attacked so much for preaching only Jesus. You wouldn't believe the kinds of attacks that I have undergone simply for preaching Jesus. Simply for preaching Jesus. And people get mad when you preach Jesus. Because people today are into lies. Many in the church are into what? Lies. Yes, they are. Let me give you a scripture. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, look what it says about the last days. Now the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what? The faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? To seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Today many in the church are following Satan's lies, are following the lies of demons. They think they're worshiping God. They're not. And you know that they're not worshiping God because if they could, I've been in board meetings where these board members are demonically possessed. And when you try to steer the church in Jesus' direction, oh, they flip out. Then you really know who they're working for. Then you really know. You really know who they're serving. So if you turn with me, here's another scripture that I want to give you. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 50. Luke chapter 11, verse 50, it says, that this is Jesus speaking, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Now notice, what happens to God's true prophets? They die at the hand of God's false prophets. That's what happens. God's true prophets, many times in scriptures, die under the hands of the persecuting false prophets. So Jesus, let's read it again, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from what? From the foundations of the world. So there were prophets way back in Genesis, is what Jesus is saying. There were prophets. Here's the first prophet, verse 51. From the blood of whom? Abel. You see that? From the blood of whom? Abel. Abel was the church's first prophet. You see? And who killed him? Cain did. Now, Cain did not serve the Lord, because if he served the Lord first, he would have worshipped correctly, like we said. Secondly, if he worshipped the Lord, he would have killed his brother. You don't kill prophets. You love prophets. You respect prophets. You honor prophets. You sit at the feet of the prophets and you have the prophets teach you. But Cain would not sit at the feet of his brother Abel. Cain would not allow Abel to instruct him in the right ways of the Lord. This is why he called his brother out for a conversation. And his brother didn't know that Cain was going to kill him. So there's always war. There's always a war going on between God's prophets and Satan's prophets. Always. Always. Now, you'll know Satan's prophets because they love to shed blood. They love to persecute. They have this thing with blood. They have this thing with blood. And this is why you'll see that the Roman Catholic Church from early on was an apostate church, because it shed the blood of the saints. The Reformation Church, the Protestant Church, never attacked anybody. The Reformers never took up swords against the Catholics. It was the Catholics against the Reformers. And that just tells you who the Catholics were working for Satan. So don't be confused, my brothers and sisters. You see, and the other thing is, listen, not only do they promote a false worship, the Catholics do, just like Cain. Not only do the Catholics murder, wasn't there an Inquisition? Wasn't there, study the Inquisition, and you'll see that the Catholics tortured and murdered people. But in addition to that, the Catholics, just like Cain, they promote lies. The whole Catholic doctrine is a lie. Just like Cain lied, just like Satan lied, just like the Pharisees lied, they all have those things in common: false worship, bloodshed, and a propensity to lie. The Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" He said, "I know not." Now, the next thing that I want to emphasize in Genesis chapter 4, if we can just go back to Genesis chapter 4. So the first thing that we saw was that Cain promoted false worship. Secondly, Cain murdered his brother. Cain shed blood. Thirdly, Cain lied. And then Cain confessed. Am I my brother's keeper? In other words, I'm not a member of the household of faith. Now, you see, in the church, I'm supposed to have your back, you're supposed to have my back in the church. You're supposed to be your brother's keeper. You're supposed to have your brother's blind side. You're supposed to watch out for your brothers and sisters. That's what makes us the church. But those who serve Satan are only out for themselves. They don't keep anybody but themselves. You see, they have a selfish gospel. They have a me, 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 me gospel. And if you notice, the gospel that's being pushed in most churches today is a selfish gospel. Nobody cares about anybody in the church. The first person who doesn't care about the people is the pastor. Do pastors pray for people anymore? No, they don't. The pastors don't even attend the prayer meeting, if there is one. If there is one. They don't even attend the prayer meetings. The pastors don't visit anyone anymore. They don't do counseling anymore. You can't get an appointment with the pastor anymore, for the most part. Pastors don't keep anybody. Now, they keep their appointments with their golf buddies, and they keep their appointments at the car shows because they love to see what are the latest cars. See, the pastors today are selfish individuals. They don't keep anybody but themselves. They don't protect anybody but themselves. They're always talking about, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't expose myself to burnout. Well, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, so those of us who are really part of the church, we are concerned one for another. We pray for one another. We love one another. We esteem one another. We encourage one another. See, it's, are you your brother's keeper? And Cain knew what God was demanding of all church members. And he says, you know what? I'm not keeping anybody. If I'm going to keep, I'm going to keep me. I'm going to watch out for me. I'm number one. I'm number one. So here are the four characteristics, again, of false worshipers in the church, and they can readily be identified. One, they don't worship the Lord after the due order. They don't worship him scripturally. They have a form of godliness, but that's all it is, a form. So number one, they have a false worship. Number two, they will spill blood. They will get ugly. If you mess with them, if you mess with their agenda, they will kill you. Remember Stephen? In fact, let's go to Acts chapter 7 real quick. Acts chapter 7. I'm going to show you how the chapter started, and then I'm going to show you how the chapter ended. Real quick. We won't take long. Acts chapter 7. Now Stephen, the church deacon, the most prominent of the seven church deacons was Stephen. And Stephen was arrested. Okay, he was arrested, and he's brought before the high priest of Israel in the days of Jesus. And let's read chapter 7, verse 1. Then said the high priest to Stephen, are these things so? Now, there's a huge audience there, so he replies, and he says in verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, fathers. Now, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Sanhedrin. Men, brethren, fathers. Okay? So they're all males. They're all his Hebrew brethren. They all come from the same stock, from the same ethnicity. And then the men are older than he is, so they're the fathers. Okay? Now he begins his sermon by saying, he said unto them, men, brethren, fathers, hearken. Now, when you go to chapter 7, verse 54, go to chapter 7, verse 54, because this is the longest sermon in the book of Acts, and Stephen is acting like a prophet now. Now, you know what happens to prophets, right? You know what happens. You know what the motif in the Bible is for prophets. If you're a prophet, you're going to get killed. They're going to shed your blood. Now, Acts chapter 7, beginning at 54. When they heard these things, who's they? The high priest, the men, the brethren, the fathers. When they heard these things, what did they do? They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were demon-possessed. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now look how the religious leaders reacted in verse 57. And they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. What did they do to Stephen? See, they were demon-possessed. They cried out. They covered their ears. They didn't want to hear what Stephen had to say about Jesus being glorified and Jesus being in heaven. They didn't want to hear that. That troubled them. See, whenever you preach Jesus, whenever you preach Jesus is higher than anybody else, the demons go crazy. They go crazy. And what did they do? They dragged him out of the city and they stoned Stephen. Now, that's not the way it started. He started by greeting them. He said to the high priest, men, brethren, fathers, cordial. He was making a cordial defense. But by the end, his sermon cut them to the heart. And they couldn't take it. And they dragged him on and they stoned him. So going back again to Genesis chapter 4, what do false brethren do? They promote false worship. If they could, they would silence the prophets of God. If they could, they would kill them. If they could. Now today you can't kill prophets today. If they could, they would kill me. If they could get away with it, they would get away with it. If they could. So now Cain kills his brother. That's the second characteristic. Then what does Cain do? He lies. Who does the lying in the Bible? Satan lies. Who speaks truth? Jesus always speaks truth. We always speak truth. Satan always lies. Satan's preachers always lie. The Lord says, where's your brother Abel? He says, I know not. He knows where he is. And then finally, he says, I disavow being a member of the church. He says, am I my brother's keeper? I'm nobody's shepherd. I'm nobody's pastor. I don't have anybody's back. So those are the four characteristics of a false minister in the church. False worship, will spill blood, like the high priest and the others and Stephen's they did. Oh, they wore in their robes. Oh, they had their collars. They had it all. But you preach something they don't like, they'll stone you. Serious business. Thirdly, he lied. And there's in the pulpit today, it amazes me how lying has become in vogue. Preachers are lying all the time. They lie all the time. Lying has taken over the pulpit. And then finally, they care for no one, only for themselves. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, the final thing that I would like to say is that not only are they cursed in this life, but they're cursed in the life to come. You see, what does the Bible say about Cain? The Lord says in verse 11, and now thou art cursed. See, the word cursed in Hebrew means to be put into a box. You're going to try to prosper. You're going to try to progress, but you'll never progress. You're going to try. You're going to try to progress. But a person who is cursed is boxed in. And when God curses them, they go nowhere. So, the Lord said to Cain, thou art cursed. Now you're a farmer, but the earth will not, what? the earth will not return to you the fruit because you spilled your brother's blood. And then the Lord said to Cain, you shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. The interesting thing is that although God cursed him and he would never go anywhere, the Bible says that God says you will go somewhere. You will be a fugitive and you will be a vagabond. So this going to and fro didn't really mean he prospered. Didn't mean he went anywhere. And have you noticed that there's a lot of people, a lot of preachers in particular, they like to put mileage. Oh, they love those air miles. They love to have their passports filled with different countries that they went to. But they're not really prospering in God. They're fugitives and vagabonds, just like Cain was. And we have a lot of preachers going to and fro. We have a lot of preachers filling up their passports with different countries that they've gone to. That does not impress God. What impresses God is true worship and true love. Now, here's four things that we can do that Cain didn't do. One, let's worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the sign of a true believer. Can you and I worship God in spirit and in truth and do the very opposite of what Cain did? That's one. Number two, instead of cutting up people and destroying people and plotting against people and bringing about the demise of people like Cain did to Abel, can we do the opposite? Can we help protect the brothers? Can we have their backs? Can we not murder but love and protect? Can we do that? Thirdly, can we put an end to lying? Can every time that we open our mouths, can we speak the truth? Can we speak the truth all the time? Can we not lie like Cain? And then finally, can we be interested in other people in the family of God more than we are interested in ourselves? You know, the Lord said, this is what Jesus said. He said in Acts chapter 20, he says, it is more blessed to give. Think about this. Think about what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to what? Receive. Now, in this culture, in this religious culture, in this religious climate, they're teaching the opposite. The preachers are teaching it is more blessed to receive than to give. You see how things have changed over the years? They've changed radically. And this is why we must get back on board with the Lord and honor the Lord as he ought to be honored. Well, that does it for today, my brothers and sisters. I pray that you are blessed with the lesson. Come back next Thursday for part six. And, you know, we're going slow and we're highlighting things here and there only because I feel that that's the best way that we can assimilate the information. And we go slow. We take a little text. We talk about it. We disseminate it. We look at it. We turn it upside down. We look at it right side up. We look at it from all angles. And we let the Lord do the work. And I need you to pray for Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. And pray for its success. Pray that, you know, by means of the internet, people can hear us on a global scale by means of the internet. That was the design. That was the purpose for starting Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, so that when people came and tuned into the broadcast, number one, they would sense the love of God. That's why it's called love. because we want people to sense the love of God when they tune into this broadcast, that God loves them, that God is concerned for them, that he has not forgotten them, that he has not abandoned them. That's number one. Number two, it's called tabernacle because this is a tent church. See, we all come under the tent. There's no building. It's a tent. The tent is the radio. See, it's a tabernacle. It's a tabernacle that we set up and we take down. We set up and we take down. It's a portable tabernacle, and we move. And there's no building. There's no location. You just tune in, and you tune in from wherever you are, and we all come. It's a tabernacle, and then it's called remnant. Why remnant? Because this church is not for everybody. This church is for serious folk, people who mean business with God, people who love the Lord, people who are tired of the games, people who really want to know Jesus and follow Jesus and love Jesus and worship Jesus and serve Jesus. Now, if you're into worshiping men, this church is not for you. If you're into getting up, you know, in the ladder of ministry, this church, we don't offer you any ministry. There's no ministry here. This is the ministry. We share the word. So there's no one you can come next to and try to gain points with to gain something in ministry. We're not into that. We're just into Jesus. That's all we are. We're into the Lord. So it's a remnant church. It's for serious folk, for people who mean business, who people who realize that we're living in the last days, that the clock is ticking, time is winding down, Jesus is soon to return, that we need to get serious with the Lord. So now I need your prayers. I need you to pray for this church. Spread the word about this church. Tell other people about what we're trying to do, of how we're trying to get them the word on a daily basis by means of this broadcast. And then, of course, we have our other radio broadcast, which we offer to you, which is Daily Manna from Heaven. That, too, is on Blog Talk Radio, and it comes on every day. And via Daily Manna from Heaven, we're here to feed you the word of God. And then we have another broadcast. It's called the Wolf Tracker Broadcast. And by means of the Wolf Tracker Broadcast, we mean to protect you from the wolves who are out there and who just want to fleece you. And then, of course, our Bible Institute. And so, listen, there's so much that this radio church is trying to do, but we covet your prayers. Because we are being, believe it or not, I can sense that the enemy is coming against us in the spirit. Now, how could the enemy come against us in the spirit? Well, in the beginning, we had a lot of listeners. But the listenership is dropping off. And I suspect that the enemy's at work. So let's pray. Let's pray that the listenership would once again, what, flourish. Because I don't need to be on radio. I'm only doing it because God told me to love you and to give you the word. And by loving you, I just mean people I don't even know. The Lord said, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know, he said, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know, feed my lambs. That's what we're doing. So, you know, I come on the air every day, three times, four times a day sometimes. Sometimes four times a day. And so we're coming on, think about it. What church do you go to where you get four messages a day? What church? And then every day. What church? You tell me in America. What church? And each message is different. Because some of you go to churches where there's two or three services a day, and the pastor preaches the same message in all three services. You don't get that here. You come here, and there's a new message every single time. And we only do that because the Lord told us to love you and to feed you and to care for you and to pray for you. So we need you to pray for this radio ministry. And We need you to tell others about the radio ministry and when you can, and when the Lord touches you, if you can send us a love gift. This radio ministry is entirely listener supported. I have one person who faithfully gives, but it's not enough. We need more. We need more. One person giving is not enough. I need for more people to partner with us. And when do you ever hear me talking about these things? But we do need the resources to stay on the air every single day. And it's really inexpensive, but because we're on four times a day and we have four different radio programs, and because we have a little studio, and because we have the light bill, and we have the phone internet bill, and of course, there's expenses. So please remember to send Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church a love gift whenever the Lord puts it on your heart. And we have a mailing address, and or you can use PayPal, however, but don't forget that we here are fighting the good fight of faith. And we're trying to be a blessing to God's people who have been forsaken and forgotten, and many of them are greatly hurting. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you're doing by means of this ministry and all that you intend to do for so many. Now, Lord, I ask you, bless the hearers. Bless them, Lord. Cause them to grow spiritually. And let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you do love them, care for them. Bless them, Lord. Bless your people. Barak your people, as the Hebrew word is. Bless them. Barak them. Cause them to do exploits for you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. I want to conclude the broadcast by playing the hymn that we played in the beginning, When We All Go to Heaven. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. I have the third part, the third word of encouragement this week, dealing with Peter. God bless you. Until then, this is Radio Shepherd saying, be at peace. Love the Lord. And be your brother's keeper. God bless.
the victory.